On today's episode, we are back and finally here for part four of season preview. Josh and I are recording this less than a week away from the NBA season. We're going to do now, like I mentioned, part four, fantasy basketball preview, talk about a couple of leagues that we are in, that we created, and just a couple of thoughts on the upcoming fantasy basketball season for the NBA. All that next.
Welcome back to the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Josh.
And I'm Trevor.
And today it's all about fantasy basketball, which may be a topic that a lot of people are not as familiar with because fantasy football seems to be the only one that's routinely popular. Before we get into that, how are you doing, Trevor?
This week's been chaos. We were on Evan and Dan's show yesterday. Here we are recording 2 days late because of just all kinds of chaos going on and in our non-basketball podcast lives, man. I am just darndest and happy. And can I be upset for anything? The NBA season starts in less than a week. I'm as happy as could be. And we've got some exciting things coming next Tuesday as well. So we'll talk about that more in a little while, but I won't actually say what it is yet. But Josh, I'm great. I'm ready to talk about fantasy basketball. Talk about Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons, as nauseating as it is. For things other than their life, I'm excited for their impact on a fictional team. I'm actually really excited. It's a great concept. Fantasy basketball is great. I haven't played it much in the last couple of years. So excited, man. Excited.
Which leads us into a very interesting part of the day. Trevor made the point he hasn't played fantasy basketball much in the last couple of years. He has much less experience in it than he did in fantasy football, but I managed to convince him to join a dynasty league and join the long haul of a fantasy basketball league that's highly competitive. Trevor, how are you feeling about your team in this league? By the way, to everyone, this is not like our fantasy football podcast team. Trevor and I are not sharing this team. This is just a personal league that we're in. We do also happen to have a podcast league where we co-own a team, which has its own challenges.
We'll get to that in a moment. Looking into it, with the first couple of picks in that one, it was very weird because Dynasty, it's like Dynasty for football. Like, obviously, I had to parallel it as best I could. It was like young talent, but do you want to wait 4 years for them to possibly be full-blown championship potential? In NBA, I didn't really know how to approach it. I've never been in a Dynasty league, so I went in like the rookie, like completely blind. I ended up with what I called the all-AARP team. And my first three picks, or actually my first four picks, are 40 or older, or 40, geez, Josh, are 30 or older. And Steph, Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, and Julius Randle is not, but he is close. He's late 20s now. So, yeah, the all-AARP team, Josh, led by Steph Curry and Damian Lillard, right? So, in Dynasty, you would only get those two back-to-back like that. I had the seventh pick, so I got him at, like, what, 7 and 10, I guess. My hope here is to win a championship now and rebuild in the draft. I think it's a really interesting format. I couldn't turn down Steph Curry at 7. It was really after that. I think when you think of first round talent, Steph was the last guy there for me in terms of guys I was willing and able to get at his, and we'll get to the salary thing in a moment, but to get at his salary cost at $100. There's this drastic, like, heavy weight on the fact that he cost $100, and I hate it. I'm like, oh gosh, Steph is 34. He's like 33, 34. He's pretty old. I feel really good. I think this year I can win the championship. The issue is, can I win it in the next 5 years? Probably not. And I'll have to just completely retool and rebuild the rest of the next couple of years. And I'm willing to do that, I guess. That was kind of where I kind of went in guns blazing, because the seventh pick in a dynasty league for the first year, not going to lie, looking back on it, kind of sucks.
You and I took very different approaches to this.
Me about it.
My intention was to take a play for now and the future. The play for now didn't work out on draft night for me. I managed to pull a draft night trade to jump from my original pick at 6 up to number 3 so that I could hop into what I think is one of the top three premier talents, which, for anyone, if you're listening to the podcast and you have a draft coming up, If you're in the top three, you have to take one of three Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, or Luka Doncic. That is true in a redraft league or dynasty keeper league. Those three should be the top three picks, and that's not a question. I think there's a sizable gap between those three and everyone else. So I was willing to give up some substantial capital in my third round pick to leap up and take Giannis there. Not only because he's one of the best players in the NBA today, but he's also only, I think, 26 years old. So hopefully a long time that I'll have him on my team there. And then I pulled kind of what I felt like I had to do, even though it was a little early for me to do it in the second round. I drafted LaMelo Ball because in a league that I'm investing in for 5 to 10 years, maybe in the future, hopefully.
I think it's at least 10, what we said.
Yeah, I couldn't, like, rationalize having to not have LaMelo Ball with me during that entire time, so I just needed to have him on my team and came around in a good spot in the second round.
So for the listeners to soak on this, I have your roster in front of me. I have both rosters in front of me. I'm just going to highlight a couple. And now the average age thing that I brought up on the East and the West pods, I was like very bullish on a couple of teams where I was like, their average age is going to be really impactful on how they play this year. Josh's team is no different for me. I didn't do the average age, and I wish I had done the homework here because I'll do it next week. I'll do it between now and next week. Someone hold me to that. That's my homework. I'm going to do the average age of your roster. I'm going to go through every player and add it up. At this current moment, it's very young. I would be shocked if it was more than 26. But
I only, in my first 8 picks, only one player was above 30 years old.
And because Giannis is obviously 27, so that's wild that that counts. Who was that? Am I missing something?
Kyrie Irving.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. LaMelo, just as a couple of under 30 guys. LaMelo, honestly, under 27. Giannis, Cade Cunningham, OG Anunoby, Jaren Jackson, Darius Garland, DeMar DeRozan. That was the kind of one that threw me off, but I think he kind of slipped a little bit in that league, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that was outside round number 9.
Yeah, Killian Hayes, Evan Mobley, and Karis LeVert. So there's still some, don't get me wrong, there's still some vets there. I mean, you kind of have the extreme on the other end. You have Derrick Rose, Al Horford, Joe Ingles, Eric Bledsoe, DeMar. So it's like you've got like this no gap. I don't think there's a single guy that's 30 on your team. I think it's like 35 and 25. It's wild.
Rose and Horford were waiver picks I picked up yesterday. So.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
No, already strategizing.
Added them to the roster yesterday. Because I guess we can lead into, since we've already mentioned in the discussion about, should you or should you not draft Kyrie Irving? Because I picked up Derrick Rose yesterday, since the Brooklyn Nets announced that Kyrie Irving will not be allowed to play or practice with the team until he's fully eligible everywhere, a.k.a. whenever he gets vaccinated. Which, for me, allowed Kyrie Irving to go ahead and get that out designation that could move him to my injured reserve list and allowed me to pick up a different player while maintaining, keeping him on my roster. But, Trevor, looking purely from a fantasy standpoint, we'll look at it first from, since we're talking about a dynasty league, should you take Kyrie Irving in a dynasty league? And then should you even take the gamble of Kyrie Irving in a redraft league? Or I think the question with a redraft league is, when do you take Kyrie Irving in a redraft league?
I think the question with dynasty is when. I think the question with redraft is you don't. That's
really?
The answer to me. Yeah.
Round you're redraft, 13, you're not what's taking your incentive in the 13th.
No, because what sign in his past and this current season has he given you that he is even thinking about? We have developments as of today that his reasoning for it has nothing to do with the actual medical aspect of it. It has everything to do with people's oppression of being forced to be vaccinated. That tells me that he's not getting it like anytime soon whatsoever. Then again, we thought the same thing about not that long ago. Who was it that we thought was not going to get it and then all of a sudden showed up?
Wiggins.
Oh, gosh. Wiggins. That's right. Wiggins was the other one. And Bradley Beal, even to this moment, is still not. I just think there's too much to it where a redraft, especially like the way I drafted, it's like I drafted similarly in a redraft. I got a couple of guys that we'll talk about in a minute here and there for both of our teams. But I don't see the reason for, 13th round, sure. But, like, my point is if you're trying to win now, he's not worth the win now because of the uncertainty. In a dynasty, 100%, you take him as far as you possibly feel comfortable letting him slip. I don't think he slipped as far as we probably would have thought in our dynasty because at the end of the day, it's a dynasty league.
He's going to be 26 years old.
Oh, that was a little high then, I guess, huh?
43rd overall.
That's a little high. I mean, it's 18. We haven't said that for either league. It is an 18 for both of us. We're using 18 as the reference because fantasy football, you do more 10 and 12 teams. But for fantasy basketball, at least for both of us, we're in 8 teams this year. 18 leagues, of course. I just don't – to answer your question, no, I don't like the risk of a redraft. I would not redraft. I have not drafted him in any redraft, and I won't.
So I'm of the opinion, if you hit round 10 in a redraft league and Kyrie Irving's there, take a shot.
So who would you rather have?
Because the latest, he's a second-round quality fantasy player. He averaged 49.9 fantasy points per game last season. He's completely a game changer for your team. And for reference, Giannis averaged 54.2 fantasy points per game last season. He's a complete game changer for your team. And, yeah, there's the uncertainty. Will he play at all? But if he does and you get him late, I think it's a good move, personally.
Who would you rather have at round 10, Jamal Murray or Kyrie Irving? That's why I'm thinking too. That's why I'm thinking about it like that. I would rather have Jamal Murray, knowing that his is health based, and once he's healthy, the Kyrie thing. There's just so much uncertainty.
But Kyrie could play next week. Coming. He could just he changes at a moment's notice. You don't know.
I don't know that. I don't know enough about it to be like, yeah, that's why I'm taking Kyrie Irving. I think at that point it's a joke to say, like, obviously my do not draft list, but he's on it, and I refuse to budge on that for any capacity. Thank goodness you took him in our dynasty, because I'm not gonna lie to you, after probably seven or eight, probably eight is when I would have started flirting with it. Mm-hmm. Because at that point I knew everyone else was like, ha ha ha, the Kyrie pick. But like at eight, I would have been like, eighth round, by the way, I would have been like, I mean, why not, right? Once I start thinking about it in the dynasty, that's fine. He's what, 27 years old or 28? He's not that old, is my point. So I kind of use that example as a segue that we both, I don't know if you even had Jamal on the draft board in our dynasty.
29. Oh, I thought he was 30.
No, so he's not even 30. Isn't that wild? He also is the same guy that, like,
maybe retire. I didn't draft anybody in the first eight rounds in their 30s.
He also strikes me as the same guy that could retire at the end of this year. So,
or tomorrow.
Sure. So I brought up the Jamal Murray comparison, one, because I think it's a good one. Two, Jamal Murray, and I'll just say this, you know, wholeheartedly, that was the steal of our draft.
Mm-hmm.
I completely forgot about him. He wasn't in ESPN's player rankings because it wasn't dynasty based, and it was just based on when you're in your draft, if you organize it by whatever. He was like 290th because of the injury, because they had no real projection, because he might not play till January. Mm-hmm. But if I'm correct, our buddy, I don't remember his name, is it Sammy?
Sammy
got him. I was sitting across from Sammy, and I had the luxury of drafting right behind Sammy, because I had seven, he had 8 and 9. So I had targeted Murray, you know, he was on a board, but he wasn't like, okay, I'm taking him. And then I just forgot for like five rounds. I was like, oh, I forgot about Jamal Murray. And then we were doing an outs out loud draft where it was like, you know, such and such selects. And I was like, when he said Jamal Murray, when I tell you, like, my heart's like fell to my stomach, I was like, oh, I'm such an idiot. Oh no. I think he was the only person in the entire room that had him on a board. I really do. Yeah. Like, I was just, we were all dumb for that. Every one of us except for Sammy.
Yeah, Jamal Murray has to be at the top of your do not forget about list.
Clearly.
Even in a redraft league. It's not the only time Sammy embarrassed us, because the rest of us also forgot about Kawhi Leonard in a dynasty league, because Kawhi is not going to play at all this season.
Yeah.
And he stashed him until next year. Late, which I think was a good decision.
It was very late.
It was very late, yeah.
I don't have much more on the Dynasty League. I do want to just ask you in terms of our rosters and our construction, because we have a team we're going to talk about that we agreed or had to agree on to picks. But from your team, I'm going to give you a guy that I really like that could swing this year. I'm not saying like championship-wise because it is a Dynasty, but I do want to give you one guy on your team, and then I'm going to put you on the spot and give you one guy from my team that you like this year. From yours, that's not your marquee Giannis LaMelo, right? I'm going to give you a guy that I think is going to be really impactful for you. Just based on everything, I'm not going to go through your whole roster because these rosters are ridiculous in size. We have three IR spots for people's reference point, and we have like 900 bench spots. In terms of impact and guys that are going to take a good jump this year and be impactful for you, I really do like Robert Covington, or I was going to say Jaren Jackson, but I feel like everyone's on the Jaren Jackson most improved player train. So I'm not going to jump on the train just yet. But I think between Robert Covington and Darius Garland, whichever one has more impact on his team, depending on the rotation, the Covington one's weird because I like Powell more, but if I'm going to give you an answer, I think Darius Garland is going to have a nice little jump here. I think that's like the one guy you'll probably set in utility and then always play him no matter what and never really think twice. So Garland's going to be probably guy I'd like on your team. That's not Cade Cunningham and Lonzo Ball, of course.
Over on your side, like for, if you're saying for the outside, those big name players, I think Christian Wood's going to be incredibly consistent for you. He's going to get a lot of production on a team that doesn't really have anyone. It's going to be Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., and Christian Wood with the Houston Rockets. So, I think you're going to see him. Honestly, he may average 21 points per game, like in the NBA, like average 21 points per game. Not talking about fantasy points. So he's going to have a lot of production. Yeah.
For transparency for the listeners, I got him at 39th because he was the last center available before I started targeting like Jonas Valanciunas, which I did, by the way. And if I'm correct, Sammy took him as well. I'm never drafting behind Sammy again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, the Wood thing was great because he was the last guy, like where I felt like if I got the top couple centers and he was like the last one in that list, I felt pretty good about Christian Wood there. So I didn't love it. Obviously, I have Anthony Davis. He's going to have to play a ton if Anthony Davis misses half the year for either rest or injury. So I had to go with the guy that at least – I wasn't even thinking bad team. I was just thinking how good he has been and how good he's going to only continue to improve with the situation. So, I am happy with the Christian Wood pick nonetheless between him and Randall, who can both play power forward for me, which is great. So – I just went superstar heavy. The more I keep looking at my roster, I'm like, holy cow. I've got like the West All-Stars from like 3 years ago. It's great.
From like 3 years ago.
I love it. It's great. I'm excited. All or nothing for me. And then I'm just going to completely rookie rebuild. All these $25 guys. It's going to be great. I'm excited. Anything else about the dynasty before we
To clarify for people that have probably been paying attention, not understanding what we mean by salary, the way the league is set up the off seasons, players that are not kept on roster by a team will essentially enter a free agency pool and will be auctioned off to a certain amount of money based under a salary cap. Players were assigned a contract value this season based on where they were drafted, and future contract values will, of course, be determined by what they're auctioned off at. With future rookies not included, we will run our annual rookie draft the way the NBA does with a lottery in two rounds. So that the poverty franchises, which may end up, I'll probably pick second in next year's rookie draft, to be honest, because my team's not going to probably perform this year. Cade Cunningham was my third player that I selected. Maybe that'll go well. Maybe not. We'll see. But that's basically how it's set up. But now moving on to the Fantasy Basketball League of Podcasts.
Yeah, we still are, before we go any further, we still don't have a name for this league. So if anybody has any name suggestions, yeah, I literally insert
league name here.
That was the first thing I thought of. We also want to highlight really quick the Dynasty league name, Josh. I think, honestly, I've played fantasy football. I've played fantasy sports for now a decade, at least. And it's my favorite league name ever. Our Dynasty League is called My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy League. Not to be confused with anything wild. It's if the Kanye fans out there are going to really appreciate that one. I'm just the greatest name for a league ever. And I couldn't think of any for the fantasy basketball league of podcasters. Didn't want to rip off Evan and Dan, so I just put insert league here. Mm. They're actually in this, which I would have felt even worse about ripping off the name. So I was like, I just made it and threw something together. We'll figure something out. If anybody has any suggestions, please just comment or, five star and put it below, or at Two Pointers on Twitter, facebook.com/the Two Pointers Podcast and TikTok at the Two Pointers Podcast. That was my shameless plug. Josh, what do we think about our podcast team? All over the place here. I love it.
I mean, I feel better about its potential this year. I mean, being a redraft league than my team. But once again, in the first round, we took Giannis. So things aren't that different for me. But we popped around in the second round to take Trae Young, who was our kind of co-MVP pick for the season.
I was bullish. I said MVP. Didn't jinx
him. Knock on wood.
Hopefully not.
We would follow up in the third round with LeBron James, since he was still there. In a one-year league, he's going to put up a lot of points because he always has the ball in his hands.
He's LeBron.
While he's out there. But yeah, Trevor, what were your thoughts on how our league went?
I just want people to understand, like, up front that I did not actually not want LeBron at three, but he was, like, or the third round, but he was, like, the only good player left at that spot where we had the second pick of each round, or we had the second pick as a snake draft. He's going to probably be the third option, and it scared me in the third round to be the possible
third option. Yeah, LeBron's going to let himself be the third option.
Look, this team, something's weird about it. They hadn't won a single preseason game. I don't know. LeBron might not be the third option, but if he wants to play through, the playoffs, he probably has to be. Regardless, at three, you were like, okay, who cares? I'm in love with the fact that, yes, with the new scoring system, we still got some quality bigs. This is an 8-team league as well. However, when I set it up, Josh did not know this until we signed in for the draft 5 minutes before. He's like, why are there only three bench spots? So thank you to ESPN for standard 8-team to just have it be three bench spots, and I didn't know that. So –
13-man rosters. Maybe that's normal in the leagues I played in, who've just been weird.
I didn't know that. Even if it isn't, my point being, we're going to have to be really strategic because this is a lot of guys that watch the league actively. These are a lot of guys that there's a guy whose entire podcast premise, shout out to Mark, Fantasyland Basketball, his entire premise of his show and his, following is fantasy basketball. So I'm nervous. We can't just like hold this and be bad. Like, it's the exact opposite of how we're doing in the football league. It's like you invite us to a football league and we do great. We host a basketball league and we can't come in last. Like we just physically can't. It's like against our morale. No, I do like that we got some quality bigs. We got Miles Turner, Jared Allen, and Dad Young pretty late. And Clint Capella. Honestly, we even with the new scoring system, we kind of went all in on the big there. So I'm happy.
Yeah, I think things are looking good. And it was a learning experience because after our dynasty draft, we did pick up Jamal Murray and stash him on the injured reserve in this league.
Nice.
Some other areas you pushed and convinced me to draft Terry Rozier.
And he was there. We had to at that point. He was like, I think he had fallen almost two rounds.
I think it was round like eight. And so I was kind of okay with it at that point.
He's our second to last utility. We got him at 63rd. Yeah. But come on. In a redraft, that's pretty good. Nonetheless, how you feel about Terry as a Hornets fan? Terry's going to be
I love Terry.
But and with the new score, I think he's going to benefit from the new scoring system. He really will.
Maybe. That's
him and CJ McCollum both. The fact that they're 1 and 2 on our utility is just we got great big quality, and we also have great big depth because I think, obviously, in this case, you want depth at a position. It's probably going to be a big, especially in a redraft because there's not as many bigs available in the waiver wires. But we have guys that we can play in terms of the big spot at forward. We have a lot of positional versatility. So, why not when you can really take advantage of this new scoring system where guys like Terry, Tyrese Haliburton, CJ McCollum, Devin Booker, I'm naming the last four guys on our, roster here that are going to be really good this year because of that new system. So Devin Booker specifically. I'm happy with this team. I really am. I actually felt better about this team than I did my own and the Dynasty League, which is not good at all. But
we'll kind of see how it goes. And I think it's another point that I think with more experience in fantasy basketball, you'll learn. And I've had to learn fantasy basketball. You have to be a lot more involved every day of the week with there's a reason you get 7 acquisitions per week because you will need to kind of the last couple guys on your bench may be kind of pseudo players, as in you're kind of just going to drop them, replace for somebody else that's playing that night, turn around, drop that guy the next day, pick the other guy right back up.
Very give and take. Very all over the
place. Yeah, because you're going to want to try to rotate more than just what's on your team into your lineup throughout the week in order to actually outscore your opponent. Some of it is a bit quantity, sometimes over quality.
I didn't review the draft board shortly after we drafted because we had a lot going on that evening. But this is my first reaction to this. Week one, and I'll go over who's in this league really quick. Week one, Zach Rager from Betting on the Rocks and Nick Levere, good buddy Nick from Enable, play each other. And I realized, I was like, where are Ben Simmons? Because we haven't talked about Ben Simmons yet very quickly. We want to talk about, should you draft Ben Simmons like we did with Kyrie? We'll talk about that. That answer is a little easier. But he has Kyrie and Ben Simmons, Nick does, in a redraft. So Nick went, you know what? Hey, I just got to make it to February. I'll be good.
And be 2-9.
I get it. No, his team's actually – I don't hate his team. He's got a lot of guys that I'm just not high on this year, but I think are ultimately going to probably put up points because their team might not be good. He's got Fred VanVleet, Bradley Beal, Paul George, Montrezl Harrell, Rudy Gobert, Caris LeVert, Kyle Lowry, Derek White, Chris Boucher, Mike Conley, and PJ Washington. So I just – his team's all over the place, but at the same time, like, there's going to be some guys like Bradley Beal and Paul George that are just absolutely going to put the shoulders on and just have.
Oh, yeah. 4, I had Bradley Beal on my fantasy basketball team last year. It was great.
Yeah. And he's going to have to carry his load.
He scored a million points every night.
Just didn't realize that he had both on the same team. So it's kind of also my cheap Ben Simmons transition as well.
Yeah. I think it seems like the should you draft Ben Simmons question has changed drastically recently because he showed up to Sixers camp.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons is in camp. He said he was never going to play a game for the Sixers again, but now he's in camp. Trevor and I have recently found out we hold very different opinions on whether or not he's going to play a game for Philadelphia. Trevor, what are your thoughts?
The more I thought about it after last night when we were on Evan and Tan's show, I like the Aaron Rodgers analogy that Dan threw out. It was like Aaron Rodgers made this big fuss for 4.5 months, and then he shows up, and the Packers are 4-1. Not saying Ben Simmons is going to make all this fuss, and then the Sixers are going to be the one seed in the East again. I absolutely do not think that. I just don't – I kept talking through scenarios where, like, I just don't know why he plays other than money. So ultimately, I answered with the fact that I don't think he plays. I'm not changing my answer right this moment. They don't play on opening night. He'll play, obviously, if he does on that Wednesday. I don't even know if we have the result of his COVID test yet. I don't think that's even come up, even though he tested almost 2 days ago now. Yeah, I feel like with the current testing, we should know that by now. But maybe there's a reason for it. It's such a weird conundrum because Rich Paul wants him to be moved. Ben wants to be in California. He has the money. It's not like he needs more money. It's not like he's going to make more money. He's already got the 5-year extension. So, no, I don't know if the situation's repairable. But then again, like I said, the Aaron Rodgers thing that Dan brought up, we just already have seen this in another sport. And he could just show up and not practice and play on Wednesday. And I'm like, well, that was stupid. I just don't know. I don't understand how he plays other than money. So my answer is no. But sure, if Ben Simmons wants the bag, fine. I'm not going to be mad that I was wrong because – he wanted a bag. I mean, he has to play to get paid, you know, to meet peace there. But anyway, it's frustrating. I hate his situation more than I hate Kyrie's because Kyrie's is beyond basketball. Simmons is, I don't really know, actually.
You don't. Simmons is my team dragged me through the mud and treated me like crap, like at the end of the playoff series and blamed everything on me. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame Ben Simmons for, frankly, sticking to Philadelphia and,
but they can't – I don't blame him for anything. They just can't fault him for how – he can't fault himself for how poorly he played.
So no, but it's – you don't expect your team to then kind of publicly blame you for everything, make you the scapegoat. I wouldn't
– this is Philadelphia we're talking about.
Yeah, but it's different when the fans do it. The fans are always going to do it. But the organization blamed Ben Simmons for everything.
Funny you say that.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Funny you say that because – I say the Philadelphia thing. Yes, that's something the fans are notorious for, Eagles, Sixers alike. I saw something on Twitter yesterday from Jason Dimas. He's a guy, a sports reporter in Philly. And someone asked him, it was like something to the effect of, does Philly can't feel normal right this moment now that Ben Simmons is back? And he goes, what do you mean normal? I've been a Sixers writer for 11 years. I never knew normal. And I'm like, I'm going to use that on Wednesday. Like, I'm going to quote you. I'm going to probably pat him on Twitter after this. I am, because it's the truth. And the fact that the organization, I wouldn't say stooped to that level, but like, that's what they did. It's Philly. So yes, the fans did it. Philly as an organization is just, Daryl Morey can't save them.
But what's crazy, because you can't write the story, is they stooped to the level of blaming Ben Simmons' poor free throw shooting specifically for why they lost. And then,
I love this,
requested Anthony Davis level trade packages from multiple teams in the NBA. They were asking for more draft picks than the New Orleans Pelicans got for Anthony Davis for Ben Simmons.
Which was a lot.
Not only did they try to, they drastically lowered the value of their own player, dragged him through the mud so that they had a scapegoat for what happened, and then tried to trade him at the highest possible price imaginable. Yeah, I think Ben Simmons plays for Philadelphia because no one is making that trade with Philadelphia. And from what I've heard, this price has not gone down. They are still looking for a similar price from the Indiana Pacers in recent trade talks. From what I could tell and I've heard, they want something in the tune of 3 first-round picks and Malcolm Brogdon and DeMontis Sabonis for Ben Simmons. I would not do DeMontis Sabonis for Ben Simmons. Forget Brogdon and the picks. I wouldn't do Sabonis for Simmons at this point in time.
The Pacers, I did not realize that Sabonis was – I know there was one where he was attached, but I do like – I like the Brogdon and 3 picks for Simmons. But if you're the Pacers, I mean, why would you do that, right? No. I like it for Philly. I like Brogdon.
Oh, every one of these trades looks great for Philly.
Oh, yeah. Here's the issue, though, and I mentioned this yesterday, and I'm not going to stand down on this because I think it's true. Tell me a single time in Daryl Morey's career where he's taken less – like, I use the 3/4 for a dollar example – in a trade where it's like, you know, the Markelle Fultz type trade where you get Jonathan Simmons in a 2nd-round pick. There's injuries there, I get. I'm just using that as an example. It's also Philly, which is even funnier. But Daryl Morey, tell me a single time in his, you know, I think it's 10-plus-year NBA career now as a GM. Tell me a single time where he's taken that less than a dollar's worth of trade. He hasn't, ever. I can tell you. I can think of every example I can think of. He's never done it. He's not going to do it. When you say the value's never come down, I don't expect it to until February when I think it starts to get really weird again. And then also we kind of look back and we're going to be March 1st and go, ah, crap, Ben Simmons is still a Sixer. And then we're back to square. And then we're back to square one.
When does his contract run out?
It just extended. He's got the 5-year 207. Yeah. So it kicks into the second year where it's backloaded. As in, not front-loaded, not team-friendly. No, this Ben Simmons contract just kicks off this year, and it's great because he's worth like a gazillion dollars. It's so stupid. I'm the same guy that like 8 months ago was like, Ben Simmons is the defensive player of the year, like no question, and he's going to end up continually being all-star. Like I died on the hill. I'm done. I sold all my Ben Simmons stock. I'm out. I got out while the bleeding was still going. At the end of the day, to answer the draft question that we brought up 15 minutes ago, do you draft him? Did we even answer the question? In a dynasty, you absolutely draft him. In a redraft,
I think in a redraft, he's going to play games. I'd draft him.
I think you do too. Yeah. If you think he's 100%, like I'm obviously in that weird camp where he's not going to, but I think you do. It's the same thing with Kyrie. I mean, I'm not going to hate anybody for drafting him. You drafted Kyrie, and we have people that we know drafted Simmons. Neither of these two guys went undrafted in any league I'm in right now. So, got it. I mean, yes, he's going to be drafted. So I guess to answer the question, unfortunately, I think you draft him.
I've got plenty more I could say on Ben Simmons, but I think better save for when we maybe have some more information the closer we reach night one of the NBA season. But with that being said, I think we've kind of covered everything on our rambling fantasy basketball preview. Trevor, can you give everyone a hint as what we got going next week?
I have one last question for you.
Okay.
One really late round sleeper that you maybe didn't draft, but like one guy that you're like, this guy could just explode. It could be a rookie. I have a couple in mind.
How big is the league? What are we talking?
Our A team. We use our team as use our league as an example. The dynasty, I guess, or the redraft. It doesn't matter. Just one guy that you're like, you could have drafted him. I don't care. Just
people in the still redraft one. Yet. I mean, we took him late. I like Thaddeus Young because I think he's going to get good production in San Antonio because there's no one really there. And also, in currently under ESPN, he's listed at small forward, power forward, and center. So you have a lot of versatility of where to play him.
I like that one. My guy, he's not necessarily so late, I guess, but Norman Powell. I have made that clear. I think Norman Powell is going to be the third best player on Portland. He's going to be great.
He's great.
What we got going on next week is, as of right now, barring a Ben Simmons trade, a Kyrie Irving trade, a Kyrie retires. None of those are happening
next week.
I'm just, look.
Kyrie retiring is the most likely of those three options.
Or getting vaccinated. Crazier things have happened. Barring anything just completely off the wall, it's kind of like this calm before the storm. The NBA season is always this fun kickoff. And we're going to make it even more fun. We've got an exciting announcement coming next Tuesday. And that's all I'm going to say. We're not going to say anything else because it's going to come out the day of the season. Look forward to that announcement on all socials, as well as on Wednesday's episode. The plan moving forward throughout the season, just for the listeners who survived the preseason and survived the off season for us, where we had to talk about Malice at the Palace and favorite players and anything, whatever.
What was wrong with Malice at the Palace?
Nothing. Nothing was wrong with any of it.
Go listen to the Malice at the Palace podcast.
It was a great show. I'm just saying we've survived where here we are. The NBA is alive again. Nonetheless, we look forward to a hopefully Monday, depending on circumstance, Monday record, Wednesday morning, early morning. I actually schedule it for like 5 a.m. So it's ready when you guys go to work or school or whatever. So I'm looking forward to it, Josh. Anything else that I'm not forgetting or forgetting? Or
you can expect a preview of kind of the
the content. First
week of the NBA season. We'll go through and kind of talk about how we think the first week's going to go. It's going to be all speculation, frankly. I'm excited to see season two of LaMelo Ball getting started out next Wednesday against the Pacers, which is a storyline-filled matchup for the Hornets to begin the season. You can also expect, as we creep close to November, college basketball season is coming, and Trevor and I are going to do something different than what we didn't do last year. We're going to preview college basketball, and you're going to see an increased amount of college basketball coverage on the Two Pointers podcast into this new year. So look forward to that. But with that being said, this is the Two Pointers podcast. I'm Josh.
I'm Trevor.
And we will see you soon.